Like to call on our youth representatives to come and give us an update on the youth program and the conference you went to last weekend.
So this is the first time we went to the Youth Unlimited conference called Teens Today. And we had a blast, right, girls? Mm-hmm. And James went with us too, my son James. And so we just wanted to thank the church for supporting us in going. We really want to go again. It was fun, eh? So basically, James and I were the youth worker representatives. So there was an assembly, and then you would break off into breakouts, and so pick your workshop that you wanted to go to. And there were awesome choices in workshops. And then Nadja and Cheryl, they had their own breakouts, and they went to their own workshops that they chose. So maybe, girls, you want to say a little bit about what was a highlight for you?
Yeah, we went to a breakout session that was basically about, like, distractions and how we can easily get, like, persuaded and distracted by, like, things such as phones and media and everything. So that was one that had, like, kind of an impact on us. And we also went to, like, general sessions where there was a leader guy named Mike who was just, like, really funny, and he could relate to the youth, and it was just all in all really good. So
yeah. And Cheryl, how about you?
Well, there was a band there, and it was, like, very fun to watch because it wasn't just like it was sort of
it
like
rocked.
Yeah. They were like songs for like young people, I guess. Not really like how the old people are.
Yeah.
The elderlies, I guess. Songs like that. So yeah, it was fun to watch.
Yeah, so you liked the music, yeah. It was very worshipful. And just some highlights, for me, too bad James can't be here. We both went to really good seminars. Maybe after church, come to us and we'll talk to you about the seminars. One thing God wanted to highlight for me was in the assembly that even if we feel like we're getting nowhere with our youth program, they're not responding to us. We don't think they're learning or getting anything out of what we're doing. You know what? God's still working in their life. And we're planting seeds, and we just have to trust the process and just trust that God's working in their lives. And then, you know who the most influential person is in the youth's life is the mature Christian, the older mature Christian that comes alongside the youth and prays for them. Ask them how they're doing, and just so that they can see what a mature Christian looks like, what a disciple of Christ looks like, and so you know, we have to keep that in mind to be an example to our youth of, and also another thing is that the questions in the assembly: who are you investing into, and who is investing in you? So how are we investing in our youth? And even if you don't have the means or even the energy to do it, pray. We need prayer warriors to pray for our youth. One question was, take some time to pause and think about those people who have had a significant role in your faith journey. And we were asked to actually text or phone someone in our life that was a big influence on us and invested in us. And as I was phoning one of my Christian sisters in Christ who comes alongside me and always prays for me a lot. So I was texting her, and then I got two texts, and they were from James and Nadja sitting right beside me. And Cheryl, you texted your mom, didn't you?
My phone died.
Your phone died? You wanted to text your mom. Okay. Well, thanks for allowing us to share, and we'll keep updating you on what we're doing and at CBC with the youth. Thanks.
Tammy, thank you, Nadja. Thank you, Cheryl. Let's take some time now to continue in our time of worship by taking up our tithes and offerings. Father God, once again we give you thanks and praise for all your blessings that you shower upon us. Receive now from us these, our tithes and our offerings. Lord, we pray you will multiply them in our hands. You will guide us to use them diligently and prudently for your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Let us be still before the Lord. Let us recognize our presence in His holiness. Let us be aware that He calls us and bids us to come to Him in prayer. Father, we lift up to you the family of Gord McEnroy again, and those who knew him and were getting to know him quite well. He will be sadly missed. Lord, we pray for those who are part of his family who do not know you as Lord and Saviour, and are so distraught because they know nothing of eternal life. Lord, while we rejoice at a life well lived, and we will celebrate his promotion to glory, there are others who will be saddened at the blackness and bleakness and the finality of death. And also we pray that we will have the words of comfort for them as we meet them, and that we will be able to encourage them to look to the Lord for salvation. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, the saying is that one door closes and another door and a window opens. And so today we celebrate the birth of Isla Grace Scott. Lord, we give you thanks for new life. We send out our congratulations to Ryan and Jen and to the grandparents, Russ and Donna. Lord, we pray your blessing on that family. The joy of a new baby. Lord, we just lift them up to you, Lord, and celebrate with them this new life that has come into their family. Lord, we pray for our congregation as it grows, Lord. We pray for the people who have stepped forward at last week's meeting and are now members of the teams. Lord, we pray for unity in those teams and unity in focus and vision for our church community, as we seek to serve you by serving our community and our country. Lord, we lift up to you those regions of the world that are still being dominated by violence, bloodshed, and power. Lord, we pray for the people of the Ukraine and the Crimea. Lord, we pray against nations that would seek to dominate and control and invade others. Lord, we pray that your mighty hand will stop any invasion of Ukraine. Lord, we pray that you will protect those people as a sovereign nation, that they will have the power and the will to withstand any domination. Lord, there seems to be so many countries around the world we could list, but you know who they are, where they are. And Lord, so we lift them up to you for your peace, for your comfort, for your protection. Lord, we pray that leaders of peace, men and women of peace, will rise up to be leaders of these nations. Lord, we give you thanks for our peace that we have in Canada and the freedom that we have. And now in your own hearts, be present fully with the Lord. Give him your thanks and praise for the many blessings in your life. And lift up to him your supplications and your prayers. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for being present among us by your Holy Spirit today as we bring our words and our songs to you in worship. Lord, we continue to ask for your blessing upon us, individually, as families, and as a congregation. Guide and direct us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, on Wednesday, we mark the beginning of the season of Lent. We're all hoping and praying for a change in the climate season. And it just seems to be such a long way off. But in the church calendar, the season is changing again. We've been in the season of Epiphany since the beginning of January. And now we're in the season of Lent, which really is just a shortened form of the word lengthening. The lengthening of days, because as we're well aware, the days are getting longer, and this just happened to be the name that fell upon this season as we lead up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, the central events of the Christian calendar. The day that Jesus died, followed 3 days later by his resurrection. And we should be pointing out that without the resurrection, there would be no Jesus. If Jesus was mentioned at all, he'd just be a footnote in history of first century Palestine. He may have been mentioned as an alleged miracle worker who garnered a following before being executed, but not anyone significant and not really noteworthy at all. Except he did rise from the dead. After he was executed, Jesus rose from the dead. So we do hear the name of Jesus, and we've been hearing it for 2,000 years. It's the name that splits nations, divides communities, separates families. Perhaps the most divisive word in our language is the name of Jesus. Bring Jesus into a conversation, and you'll see what I mean. And we shouldn't be surprised at this, because Jesus told us that was the way it would be. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, 51, he says, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division." This is Jesus. "Didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring division. From now on there will be 5 in one family divided against each other, 3 against 2, 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother." And he goes on, "mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." All through Jesus' ministry, he spoke of division, of separation. He talked about the wheat and the tares, the wheat and the weeds that would grow up together in the church. He talked about the sheep and the goats and the separation of those that would take place. And he talked about the sword that divides. In Matthew's Gospel, he gets very clear. He says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." All the way, Jesus is talking about division. He's talking about separating people who are following him and people who don't and won't. He's talking about the choices we make in life. Every person on this planet has a choice to make. They will either accept God's free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, or they will reject it. There's no middle ground. Jesus himself had a clear choice to make himself. He came here to die. And that's our core text for today. One verse of Scripture, which I think is a pivotal verse, certainly in Luke's Gospel, it's the central verse. Luke 9:51. As the time came, or the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He set his face towards Jerusalem, where the cross would be. The next 14 chapters, this is chapter 9, the next 14 chapters of Luke's Gospel are about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. First 9 is just preparation, laying the groundwork. But when we get to 9:51, he sets out resolutely for Jerusalem. That's his total focus. The word resolute means to take a firm, determined, or unwavering decision or direction or a stand in something. Sometimes people who are resolute about something can be seen as being stubborn, inflexible, or uncompromising. So be it. To be resolute about something means you're not going to be distracted from your course. You have made a decision about something, and you're going to carry it out. Those of us who have or have had teenagers know what resolute means. Determined to do something. Jesus set out resolutely for Jerusalem, a metaphor, if you like, for going to the cross, and he wasn't going to be dissuaded. Question is, did he have any opposition that would dissuade him? And yes, he did. Did he know what was waiting for him in Jerusalem? Yes, he did. Was he afraid or fearful? I think, yes, he was. I'm sure that Jesus, growing up in first century Palestine, would have witnessed more than one crucifixion. That was the way the Romans kept law and order in their conquered countries. You run afoul of the law, we crucify you. It's very simple. It's a way of keeping the populace under control so there are no uprisings. And certainly when we read in those final hours in Mark's Gospel, when Jesus went away to pray in Gethsemane, he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said. So yes, he knew what was lying ahead. He knew what was going on in Jerusalem. And he even asked, Father, if everything is possible for you, take this cup from me. So Jesus knew exactly what lay ahead. But he was resolute. He would not be distracted. And along the way, he came across many reasons or opportunities that would require him to be resolute, because he experienced opposition and conflict all along the way while he was trying to carry out his mission on earth. In Luke 11, people lied about him, claimed that he was casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. The so-called spiritual leaders opposed him fiercely, Luke 11 says, and besieged him with questions. He was dogged all the way along with Pharisees, the so-called religious leaders of the day, the ones who should have known but didn't, so they opposed him. The Pharisees were indignant with him because he healed on the Sabbath. Even the local king, King Herod, wanted to kill him in Luke 13. He was being carefully watched. Every word he said, every action he took, was being watched in Luke 14. People muttered against him in Luke 15. And again, the Pharisees, those elite who saw their position of power and prestige, they sneered at him in Luke 16. At times, the people muttered, Pharisees and the people muttered. And you know what it's like when you hear someone muttering. A couple of people muttering together about something. And they muttered against Jesus in Luke 19 because he befriended a sinner, Zacchaeus, and went to have supper at his house. And he told them a parable that was clearly against them as teachers of the law, and they immediately set about to not correct their way, but to arrest him in Luke 20. They sent spies in amongst him and his followers, pretending to be honest just to see what he was saying and doing. They wanted to keep tabs on him and everything he said and everything he did. They tried to trip him up with their questions. Don't try to be tricky with Jesus. He'll outwit you every time. Don't try to hide anything. He knows the truth, and he knows you know the truth. And he knows you know he knows the truth. Don't get tricky with Jesus. Luke 22, they're looking for ways to get rid of him. Eventually, they found a man of weak loyalty with a lust for money among Jesus' closest friends, and they struck a deal with Judas. And in the end, his friend betrays him, and even his closest friend, Peter, denies him, and Jesus is left standing alone. All the way through 14 chapters of Luke, opposition all along the way. Perhaps now we can get a glimpse of what the real meaning of the prophecy in Isaiah 53. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Now we know what Luke 9:51 really means. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. All these snippets of the stories, and these are just from Luke's gospel, they point to one thing about Jesus we can be sure of. He was determined. He had a goal, he had a mission, he had a calling. He had a true sense of God's mission for him. He was God in the flesh, and he wasn't going to let any human stand in his way. He was resolute. The slander and the lies and the threats and all the noise that swirled about him, none of that was going to distract him. None of that was going to distract him from doing what God had called him to do. He was resolute. And this presents a challenge for us who call ourselves followers of Jesus. Are we really following him on this road to Jerusalem, on this road to Calvary? Are we really with him? Or are we merely observers? Are we spectators? Are we part of the fan club? Yay, Jesus. Or are we following with him? Are we walking alongside him? Are we as resolute in our calling, in seeking our calling and carrying it out and making it the priority in our lives? Are we as resolute, anywhere close as resolute, as Jesus was? Are we distracted from all the noise that's around us? Are we dissuaded from fulfilling the call because of what people might say? What our friends might say, what our family might say? Do we get embarrassed when we talk about our faith at work, at school, in the marketplace? How does your resolve measure up? We whose crosses are nothing like the cross that Jesus went to, how is our resolve? Jesus said he came to bring division, and indeed he has. There are two divisions. There are those who have followed Jesus, have taken up their cross, made a determination that their faith is their priority and nothing else will dissuade them. And then there's the rest, for whom Jesus is not so important. Our question today is, what camp do we belong to? What camp do you belong to? Where are you with Jesus? Casual observer on the side? Part of the cheerleading team? are you carrying your cross right alongside him? This season of Lent, which begins this week on Wednesday, brings us again to this time of decision. It provides us with this opportunity in these 6 weeks, 40 days of Lent, that lead up to Good Friday and Easter. It provides us with an opportunity to say again, I am with Jesus. And this is a season. Different churches, different denominations have different traditions around the season. But it's a season for you to reaffirm and resolve your faith. Resolve to be determined to be a follower of Jesus, not just a cheerleader for Jesus. To really invite him into your life and submit your agenda to his. Will you increase your times of prayer and Bible reading? Will you switch the TV off an hour or two early in the evening and sit quietly with the Lord? Will you take out your Bible and read and meditate on the words there and ask the Lord to identify what is in this text for me? Will you? Will you set out each day by the power of the Holy Spirit, prepared to be the salt and light in your circle of friends, amongst your colleagues and your associates? Are you with Jesus? Are you resolute in your determination to live for Jesus? Are you resolute that you will take up your cross? In Isaiah again, the Lord says, these people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Let us not be in that camp. In that text of Isaiah, it says, their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Let us be very, very careful that we're not honoring God with just our lips. And we show up on Sunday morning for an hour of worship. It's a little bit longer today. But our hearts are not far from God. Our hearts are close to him. Jesus set out resolutely for Jerusalem and certain death. He did not flinch from doing that for you and for me. If he did that for you, what are you prepared to do for him? Jesus died for you. What are you doing for him? In that tough, tough book of the New Testament, James, the Epistle of James, he writes, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. And he goes on in 2:26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, it will show by the way we live our life, our actions, the things we're involved with, the priorities in our life will show immediately that Jesus is Lord of my life. Because I've reorganized my agenda, I've reorganized my priorities. Question is, what are you doing for Jesus? See, the world doesn't need any more talk about God. The world needs people who obey God and love God. The world doesn't need any more people who know about Jesus. The world needs people who are following Jesus and modeling Jesus. And certainly the world doesn't need any more people who go to church. The world needs more people who are carrying their cross. Each one of us should resolve in this season of Lent as a time for reflection, for deep times of prayer, for fasting. Yes, that means skipping 2 or 3 meals in a day, living on water alone, to control your body and your passions and your pleasures, so that when the hunger hits, you're reminded, I'm doing this to stay close to Jesus. Will you be resolute? Will you open the Word of God and spend more time in it? Will you be firm, determined, unwavering in your search for God's way in your life? Will you spend serious time listening for His voice and make your life count for Jesus? Will you make your way during Lent to your cross? Will you find your life by losing it for Christ? At the end of this story in Luke, we find Jesus in Jerusalem. And in a few weeks, we'll celebrate that great day on Palm Sunday as Jesus is what's called his triumphal entry into Jerusalem with the cheering crowds on the sidewalk. Yay, go Jesus. Only the next week to cry out, crucify him. The same crowd. But as the day approached, Jesus gathered his disciples together, those who had stayed the course, remained loyal to him up to this point, and he was with them for a final message and a final meal. The Passover meal they were very familiar with. Jesus taught them at that meal that he was the Passover sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God who would take away their sin and the sin of the world. Today again, he welcomes all who are his true followers. If you are a true follower of Jesus, you've made that commitment. Jesus is a priority in my life. He welcomes you to come to his table. He welcomes you to take up your cross, whatever it is, to reorder your priorities so that kingdom work is the priority in your life. That your times of prayer and Bible study are a priority in your life. The holiness that he calls us to is a priority in your life. This is a time, this season, we'll be here for 6 weeks and it'll be gone. We'll celebrate Easter and it'll be gone. This is the time. This is the season. This is the day where we resolve to follow Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, forgive us for the sometimes casual way we've taken with our faith. Forgive us when congregational life, church life, worship, and ministry have become just a part of our life as opposed to the focus of our life. Lord, give us the grace and your spirit to resolve to be different, to resolve to live like citizens of the kingdom of heaven, not citizens of the kingdom of earth. For you've called us into that kingdom. You have sanctified us and you've sent us back into the kingdom of the world to be the salt and the light. Lord, each one of us in this season of Lent, in season of preparation, let each one of us resolve to spend more time in prayer, more time in our scripture, and find our work here in the congregation, find our ministry and find our calling. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus journeyed to the cross for you and for me. Our question now to ourselves is, what are we doing for Jesus? As you go from here today, go in peace, knowing that God loves you, he died for you. Ask yourself this season of Lent, as we prepare for Easter, What are we doing for him? Go in peace. Amen.